Hey, good morning to you. Hope you survived the time change. This is First Light from Westwood One News. I'm Evan Haining. It's March 12th. In our close-up, some high hopes along with caution flags for President Trump's planned meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Jerry Bodlander reports on that. A deadly helicopter crash in New York's East River. John Lawrence has those details. AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore is watching another bad storm take shape in the Northeast. Applebee's is warning customers about a credit card hack. Tom Busby reports on that and more of our money. March Madness underway. Robert Workman reports the 68-team field for the NCAA tournament is set. And entertainment editor Kevin Carr tells us who did well at the movies over the weekend. The Black Panther has not lost his superpowers. It's 7 past the hour. There are mixed emotions over President Trump and Kim Jong-un's upcoming summit meeting on North Korea's nuclear program. CIA Director Mike Pompeo told Fox News Sunday no concessions will be made. Well, Jerry Bodlander has more.
Evan, lawmakers from both parties are urging the administration to move very carefully following the president's surprise announcement that he's willing to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Senator Ron Johnson, who chairs the Senate Homeland Security Committee, appeared on CNN and referenced North Korea's actions with previous administrations.
You have that history. Let's not be snookered again. Let's not be Charlie Brown to North Korea's Lucy.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren noted North Korean leaders had long sought a meeting with a U.S. president, and she called the surprise announcement a win for North Korea. She also said she wants the president to succeed, but noted the talks will be very complicated and key State Department positions are vacant.
I want the president to succeed. When the president succeeds in negotiations like this, the United States succeeds. It makes us safer. It makes the whole world safer. But I am very worried that he's going to go into these negotiations and be taken advantage of.
Administration officials like CIA Director Mike Pompeo on Face the Nation and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on Meet the Press said the North sought the meeting because of the administration's tough approach.
Never before have we had the North Koreans in a position where their economy was at such risk and where their leadership was under such pressure.
A major reason why they're having this meeting is because the economic sanctions have a very big impact.
There are many variables that will have to be dealt with in the weeks ahead of any summit, including where and when it'll be held. Evan?
Correspondent Jerry Bodlander. 5 people have been killed in a copter crash in New York. John Lawrence reports.
A chartered helicopter in New York City slowly loses altitude and crashes into the East River. The blades slice the water briefly, and then the craft sinks into the frigid water. The pilot was able to break free from inside.
I see the helicopter went, like, crashed right by the water, like across from Gracie Mansion. And the guy, he survived, actually. We saw him, that he was waving his hand, and he was waving, like, he was, like, asking for help.
And the fire department immediately responded. Aviation responded, too, and the Coast Guard. A private tugboat also assisted in the response.
Emergency crews had trouble getting the passengers out.
The 5 people besides the pilot were all tightly harnessed, so these harnesses had to be cut and removed in order to get these folks off of this helicopter, which was upside down at the time and completely submerged.
2 were pronounced dead at the scene. 3 other passengers died afterwards.
I saw them carrying a man from over here, wrapped up, a couple of policemen, and putting him in the ambulance. He was wrapped up in a white blanket.
Authorities say the chopper from Liberty Helicopters was chartered for a private photo shoot. The cause of the crash is under investigation. The National Transportation Safety Board is on hand.
That report from John Lawrence, correspondent John Lawrence. Well, we'll get this week's first DevoreCast. It has some bad news for some of us. Robert Workman previews tomorrow's tip-off in the first 4 in the NCAA. It's 11 minutes past the hour on First Light. Okay, it's First Light. We'll get to the forecast in a couple of minutes. First, it is 13 past the hour this Monday, March 12th. Let's look backward.
On tap, in the can, or in the bottle. to me, it will all taste the same.
Well, not exactly the same. Hank Thompson's singing about beer. We're talking about Coke. Coca-Cola was sold in bottles for the first time ever on this day in 1894. That was in Vicksburg. And Mississippi also made history in 1884, authorizing the first state-supported college for women, the Mississippi Industrial Institute and College. Speaking of women, 1912, the Girl Guides were founded. They were later renamed the Girl Scouts of the USA. 1933, in the dark days of the Depression.
My friends, I want to tell you what has been done in the last few days and why it was done and what the next steps are going to be. I recognize that the many proclamations...
President Franklin Roosevelt delivered the first of his fireside chats. Now, these radio addresses helped reassure Americans and are considered an historic use of modern communications. They were revived by President Reagan during the 80s and have been continued in some form by presidents ever since. Of course, they're online now, in video. Hawaii became a state this day in 1959, and the number one song was by Frankie Avalon. Yes, A Study of Mythology by Frankie Avalon. It sounds prehistoric. Venus was number one for 5 weeks. 5 weeks, can you believe it? And those are some of the things that happened on past March 11th. It's 15 past the hour. AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore, it looks like we have another bad storm spinning up out of the northeast.
Yeah, another one of these rapid intensifications, bombogenesis. These are all terms that we've learned this winter, like we learned polar vortex several winters ago.
But derecho before that.
Yeah, before that. So spin up, bombogenesis, it all portends to a really nasty morning tomorrow morning from New York City all the way, and especially up in Boston. I think Boston has the best chance to get hardest hit from this. So snow arrives tonight. New York City will have its worst probably during the morning commute tomorrow, and then Boston through the day tomorrow. New York City, we have 1 to 3 inches, as much as 6 inches out on eastern Long Island. And then it ramps up to almost a foot around the Boston, greater Boston area. Again, that's centered on tomorrow into tomorrow evening. And the winds are going to pick up, gusting 40, 50 miles per hour. So another windy, snowy event for the northeast coast. They're probably saying and crying uncle and hoping that's the last one as we click towards spring. Right now, today, looking out west, the rain is holding off in the Pacific Northwest, but it will spread to the coast tonight, another storm coming in there. And we've got a pretty raucous storm in the Pacific Northwest after the southern branch storm got the southern part of California over the weekend.
Well, it's a big country. There's got to be a Dean's List city somewhere in one of the 50 states or territory.
You would think that, right? So let's go out west for some nice weather. How about Phoenix today? Mostly sunny, the high getting up to 82 degrees. And we'll go to San Francisco by the bay near 70 degrees with mainly cloudy skies, but that's still pretty nice for San Francisco.
Sounds good to me. Thank you, Dean. That's a look at America's weather. Here's the latest from the newsroom. President Trump was in Pennsylvania to campaign for Republican congressional candidate Rick Saccone. Now, he's running against Democrat Connor Lamb, a 33-year-old former Marine who's also worked as a prosecutor in cases involving opioid-related deaths, gun trafficking, and violent crimes. The special election between the two is tomorrow. If you get Medicare benefits, look for a new card that will be arriving in the mail sometime between next month this year and April of next year. Your Social Security number will not be on the face of this card. It is to protect against identity theft. The Church of Scientology is launching its own TV network, which goes on the air tonight. Scientology is popular with many celebrities. It's been condemned by many former members and investigators for corruption and violence. Elon Musk says SpaceX will be ready to fly its Mars rocket next year. At the South by Southwest Festival, Musk says he's always wanted to send humans to live on Mars. He calls it a huge entrepreneurial opportunity. And thousands of frozen female eggs and embryos could be damaged after storage, a tank malfunction at a California fertility clinic. Around 400 patients from Pacific Fertility Clinic in San Francisco were reportedly informed of a liquid nitrogen failure that occurred March 4th. Those are some of the stories we're following on First Light today. It's March Madness time at 18 past the hour. Good morning, Robert Workman.
Gracious good morning to you, Evan. Yeah, the 68-team field for the NCAA tournament is all set. Sunday, the last five automatic bids were awarded. American Athletic Conference, number 8 Cincinnati, squeaked past number 21 Houston, 56-55. Bearcats swept the regular season and tournament titles in the AAC. Atlantic 10, Davidson upset number 25 Rhode Island, 58-57, though both teams wound up making the NCAA field. SEC, Kentucky thumped number 13 Tennessee, 77-72. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander with 29 points. The Wildcats have won four straight SEC titles. Ivy League, Penn got by Harvard 68-65, so the Quakers are in the tournament for the first time since 2007. And in the Sun Belt, Georgia State down Texas Arlington 74-61. DeMarcus Simons with 27 points to get the Panthers back in the dance for the first time since 2015. The top seeds in the field overall, it's number one, Virginia in the South. 2016 champion Villanova tops the East. Kansas is number one in the Midwest, and Xavier goes out west to nab the last top seed, although they didn't make the Big East final. NCAA tournament begins on Tuesday with two first four games in Dayton, Ohio. First, LIU Brooklyn takes on Radford in a 16 seed matchup. The winner will play Villanova in Pittsburgh on Thursday evening. That's followed by an 11 seed battle between St. Bonaventure and UCLA. That winner takes on Florida in Dallas on Thursday night. Two more of those first four games on Wednesday. 16 seeds Texas Southern and North Carolina Central go at it for the right to meet Xavier in Nashville on Friday evening. Then 11 seeds Syracuse and Arizona State. That winner has a date with TCU Friday night in Detroit. First and second round games will be in Pittsburgh, Wichita, Dallas, and Boise on Thursday. Charlotte, Detroit, Nashville, and San Diego on Friday. And then the second round games will be there on Saturday and Sunday. Final Four is in San Antonio on March 31st. The championship game is Monday, April 2nd. The NIT begins tomorrow with on-campus site games until the semifinals in New York on March 27th and the final March 29th. Top four seeds in the 32-team field, Baylor, Notre Dame, St. Mary's, and Southern Cal, who were basically the last four teams left out of the NCAA field. The CIT tips off today with four contests, three on Wednesday and one on Thursday. And the CBI begins tomorrow with a 16-team field. They have one game tomorrow night and then seven more on Wednesday. In the NBA on Sunday, the Rockets rolled over the Mavericks 105-82. James Harden sat out with a sore left knee, but Eric Gordon had 26 points and Chris Paul 24. Houston clinches a playoff spot, and its winning streak stands at one. The Rockets' 17-game run ended in Toronto on Friday night. Raptors nailed the Knicks 132-106 to give them eight straight wins. Seven players scored in double figures. Two more had 9 points. And Timberwolves topped the Warriors 109-103. Karl Anthony Towns, 31 points and 16 rebounds, plus enough support to offset Kevin Durant's 39-12 for Golden State. Pacers nipped the Celtics 99-97, 27 for Victor Oladipo. Lakers lashed the Cavaliers 127-113, a career-best 36 points for Julius Randle, plus 14 boards and 7 assists. 76ers, Bulls, Jazz, and Nuggets were also winners. NHL, Penguins dimmed the Stars 3-1. Evgeny Malkin notched his 39th goal. That seems like a lot. It's one behind the league leaders, Alex Ovechkin and Patrick Laine, who meet tonight when the Capitals host the Jets. Blackhawks beat the Bruins 3-1. Islanders smothered the Flames 5-2. Rookie goalie Christopher Gibson stopped 50 shots to snap an 8-game losing streak. And Darcy Kemper made 27 saves as the Coyotes shut out the Canucks 1-0. Kevin Harvick wins again. If that sounds familiar, that's three straight wins on the NASCAR circuit for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup. And this may sound unfamiliar. Paul Casey fired a final round 65 to win the Valspar Championships in Palm Harbor, one stroke ahead of Eldrick T. Woods. You can call him Tiger. It's his best finish since 2013. Wow. He's going to be at Augusta. Oh, yeah. That's Monday Sports.
Hey, thanks, Robert Workman. Coming up on First Light, Tom Busby business on Wall Street's Happy Friday. Fat Guys of the Movies, Kevin Carr, has a top five at the box office this weekend. It's 22 past. This is First Light. Hope daylight saving time is being good to you. Keep your eyes open as you drive to work or drive home today. It's 24 past. AAA puts the price of regular at $2.53 a gallon nationwide, $2.54 in Idaho, $2.56 in Rhode Island. And for more on our money, good morning, Tom Busby.
Good morning, Evan. A new week on Wall Street with investors coming off a huge rally on Friday following a blowout February jobs report. 313,000 jobs added last month. The Dow on that news surging 440 points higher, and the NASDAQ starts the day at a new all-time high. Now, if people seem a little sleepier than usual today, it's to be expected. Daylight savings time began yesterday, and the National Safety Council is warning employers that workers in certain positions and industries may be adversely affected today by the time change. Applebee's warning customers in 15 states, from Florida to Texas to Arizona, that hackers may have accessed their credit card data. Facebook will live stream 25 afternoon Major League Baseball games this season. Twitter will live stream Major League Soccer games. Volkswagen will reportedly stop making the VW Beetle again. And Dollar General stores not only offering low prices to customers, but also better maternity benefits, giving new birth and adoptive moms more time off to take care of their babies.
Thank you, Tom. 25 past, entertainment editor Kevin Carr. Now, Kevin, it looks like Disney did well at the box office this weekend.
They absolutely did. It was a banner weekend for Disney because they had the top two films, and no matter which one was going to win, it was going to be a Disney film. Of course, Black Panther came out on top again for the fourth weekend in a row, which is actually kind of stunning, especially for a movie that released, not just a movie that released this time of year, but it's third in terms of the best fourth weekend to just Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Avatar. It's a monster hit. It cracked $1 billion globally. And even though A Wrinkle in Time came in second, it's a win for Disney because they get the top two spots and they win both ways.
Wrinkle in Time, how well did it do? You had some mixed feeling. You gave it both a thumbs up and a thumbs down, maybe a thumb sideways on Friday.
Yeah, maybe a little bit thumb sideways on that. I did have mixed feelings on it. A lot of reviewers did, and I think the audience responded about the same way. It ended up coming in with an estimated $33 million for the weekend, which is just a hair below what Disney was projecting. And so it's on expectations.
What else did well this weekend?
Well, Strangers Pray at Night, in spite of a C cinema score, it came in with over $10 million, which overperformed for this tiny little horror film. The ones that didn't do well, though, were The Hurricane Heist, which only did over $3 million, just a hair over $3 million, with a miserable per theater average, and Gringo, which didn't even come into the top 10, at number 11 with less than $3 million.
All right. Thank you, Kevin Carr. Find more of Kevin at fatguysatthemovies.com. This is First Light. It's 27 past. First Light, 29 past. Some birthdays. James Taylor is 70. Governor Mitt Romney, 71. Marlon Jackson of the Jackson 5, 61. Porn star Ron Jeremy, 65. First Light is produced by David O'Zeal. Engineered by the legendary Joe Ardinger. It is Monday, March 12th. I'm Evan Haining, and First Light is a production of Westwood One News.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. This is First Light from Westwood One News. I'm Evan Haining. It's 32 past Monday, March 12th. President Trump will meet North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Now, this is historic, both an opportunity and a possible tripwire for trouble. So far, North Korea hasn't said anything about this meeting. You know, it was announced by the South Koreans. Of course, the North isn't much on free speech, but it's kind of weird because Friday we were getting reports that Kim Jong-un was happy and joking at a get-together in South Korea. Reports he felt like the new sheriff in town. Now Kim's own officials say he's even keeping them in the dark. Well, that doesn't keep us from talking about it. So I'd like to hear what you think of this upcoming meeting, what you'd recommend as preparation and, you know, fallback positions, and any other bright ideas that could help. 800-736-3666, 800-736-3666. First to the forecast. Hi, Dean.
Evan, good morning. We've got a storm brewing again for the eastern seaboard. We could get hit with a foot of snow around Boston. Winter storm warnings up for later tonight into tomorrow. Keep up to date on that on AccuWeather.com. Meanwhile, in Atlanta today, brisk and chilly, low 50s with clouds and some sunny breaks. Houston, breezy today, sunshine, a cooler day, the high 66. Kansas City, clouds, some sunny breaks, high 51. Phoenix is on the Dean's list, mostly sunny, up to 82. Los Angeles, also nice weather today. D.C. has some rain and snow showers with little accumulation, highs in the upper 30s today. Keep up to date on your AccuWeather.com app. Evan, have a great Monday.
And you too, Dean DeVore. All right, we're talking North Korea, the upcoming meeting with President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Call now, 800-736-3666. It's First Light. This is First Light. It's 36 minutes past First Light from Westwood One News. I'm Evan Haining. If you want to call, now is the time to do it. Our number is 800-736-3666. 800-736-3666. President Trump will meet with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un pretty soon. Too soon, many experts say. Now, those are the ones criticizing the lack of groundwork, the lack of a plan, no announced expectations, the hollowing out of the State Department, and fear of putting together two men, one of whom calls the other Little Rocket Man, and the other who calls Trump a dotard. The dotard lights the wick of war. How's that for a North Korean headline that we hope we never see? On the other hand, CIA Director Mike Pompeo told Fox News on Sunday, that no concessions will be made while negotiating. And Trump has gotten an agreement to meet with one of the most dangerous countries in the axis of evil. So the pressure is on for the People's Republic and the fallout from a mistake that could be so terrible, real fallout, as in nuclear fallout, that anyone in his or her right mind hopes Trump meets with success when the two get together. All right, what are your thoughts on this? And how should the president prepare? The number to call is 800-736-3666. 800-736-3666. You know, over the last few months, we have heard stories about American military families getting scooted out of the country, rushed out, and some people in the Pentagon saying they expected a war within 9 months. Well, we have a couple of months to go to meet that deadline, and we certainly hope that's a deadline that we never meet. So this is a terrible situation, a sticky situation, and this meeting can either be good news or bad news, and I'd like to know what you say. 800-736-3666. And for more on the possible summit and expectations for it, Brian Todd reports.
In Washington and Seoul, a mix of genuine optimism over the possibility of a groundbreaking summit and real concern over what could go wrong.
This has been somewhat haphazardly prepared and very, very quickly prepared, and I'm concerned about this.
Analysts say so much of the success or failure of a meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un depends on the personalities of two very unpredictable leaders.
You know, you have the two most unusual leaders on the face of the planet walking in together to meet for the first time. You know, what could possibly go wrong? If those two hit it off, that could really advance things and things could go pretty well pretty quickly. If they don't hit it off, the opposite could be true.
Tonight, U.S. and North Korean officials are pressing their intelligence agencies and diplomats for more information on what the other side is after in a possible meeting. President Trump wants North Korea to commit to drawing down its nuclear arsenal, White House officials say, and won't even meet until that happens. What does Kim want to get out of a summit? And does he win just by having Trump show up?
He wants the legitimacy that comes from a meeting with the President of the United States, a legitimization of his reign and rule and status in the world, something that his father and his grandfather were never able to achieve. And if the American president goes through with this, he will have given that important gift to the North Koreans for virtually nothing.
Tonight, veteran diplomats and security officials are warning that Kim Jong-un could be playing President Trump and that Trump could be walking into a trap. They say Kim will never give up his nuclear weapons. And even if he promises Trump he'll freeze his program for a while, he could still keep building that program in secret.
North Korea has cheated on every diplomatic deal with the U.S., with the U.N., with South Korea, with China, the six-party talks. They have a perfect track record of cheating. And so even with a significantly large amount of pressure on the North and pain, which we're imposing, I'm very skeptical, and I think most people who've dealt with North Korea are very skeptical that they'll keep any deal.
And that report from correspondent Brian Todd. Now, I don't like to repeat myself too much, but just one more time for my story about interviewing a member of the Bush administration during its negotiations with North Korea. When the official told me, "I think we've struck a good deal with Kim Jong-il." Now, that was Kim Jong-un's father. I said, "How do you make a deal with a guy who claims he had 13 holes in one the very first time he played golf?" Well, the official started laughing and couldn't continue the interview. Now, that was not your riot, Evan. That was nervous laughter. Because shaking hands with Kim Jong-un is like welcoming a guest to dinner and suddenly realize that Charles Manson is sitting across from you at the table. So give us some ideas on this. America needs all the wisdom it can find these days. And our number is 800-736-3666, 800-736-3666. Get in now. This is First Light. It is 44 minutes past the hour. We're talking about North Korea and President Trump's upcoming visit. If you want to call, do it now, 800-736-3666. I'm Evan Haining. We're going to start with Tim in Western Illinois. Good morning, Tim. I got Tim punched up. I can't hear. Hello, Tim?
Oh.
There you are.
Hi there. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm driving, so I may get crackly here. Here's my take on it. As soon as the offer was made to get together with the U.S., the North Koreans kind of handed us a stinky sandwich. If you refuse to meet with them, they're going to hold that against us. If we meet with them, they're going to try and play Trump. They'd play any president that they meet with, whether it's Trump or Obama or whoever. My thought is what they need to do is keep them at the table, get them talking, and tell them it's going to be a long, protracted process. If they're serious about wanting to make a change, they'll be willing to sit at the table and talk. And if they get all agitated about it's going to take some time, then it's pretty clear at that point. We made the effort in good faith, and they walked away from it. And we can, the U.S. can keep face, and Kim can make whatever claims he wants, but the world will know what the deal is. That's my thoughts on it.
That's good.
I'm no expert. So
yeah, no, that's good, Tim. You're saying they made us an offer essentially we couldn't refuse because we walk away, we're the bad guys. If we stay, they can, you know, roll the dice and take a shot. They haven't met with a president before.
Yeah, I mean, it was the previous Kim who was a psychotic. As well. I that's my opinion. I think we're dealing with people that are completely mercurial. You never know what side of the equation they're going to be on at any given time. And yeah, it is a dangerous thing, but I think we have to at least make the effort to engage them and do what we can to denuke the peninsula.
Okay, you bet. Hey, thank you, Tim. Thank you for your call. Good call.
Thanks,
we're
going
to check out now. We're going to John in Atlantic City. You're on First Light, John.
Good morning. I just say, how about meeting Kim in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, where his brother was taken out
yeah,
even the field there.
How about meeting them in, Rikers Island or something? I mean, yeah, this is going to be a dangerous thing. I cannot imagine where they would meet. That's the kind of thing that I think negotiations would take months just to find a place where they could meet, where it's going to be safe for President Trump, among other things.
Yeah, I think Malaysia would be the place, just to let him know that we got his eye on him and, we know what he's up to and, you know, and what his capabilities are.
Yeah, hey, good. Thank you, John. That's a good point. Our number is 800-736-3666. We want to hear from you. 800-736-3666. We have Johnny and Richard. Let's start with Russ in St. Louis. Good morning to you, Russ.
Good morning, Evan. How are you?
I'm okay.
What I do, since this little son of a is so narcissistic, I would have him, if this is going to be broadcast, he wants to be such a big guy in his own country. If I was Trump, I'd tell him it's real simple. You get on there and you give orders to all the people with your weapons pointed at South Korea to stand down now. And if not, he can stand and say, if he doesn't give these orders, I want to let everyone know in your country you're all dead because we're taking you out.
Well, I'll tell you, Russ, you know, I mean, I don't think Kim Jong-un would ever allow this kind of thing to be broadcast. I mean, you know, the three generations, if you screw Kim Jong-un, he kills your kids and their kids, or he kills your parents and your grandparents, depending on how old you are.
Well, he might not make it home either.
Okay.
Get my point.
We'll get you at the table, too, there. Okay. Thank you, Russ.
Yeah, put me there.
All right. 800-736-3666. We're going to Richard in New Bedford, Massachusetts now. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. I think that the expectations got to be lowered on the part of the United States because if we think that Kim Jong-un is going to give up nuclear weapons in Korea, we ought to, you know, see a psychiatrist. The fact of the matter is the reason he has these weapons is because he was designated by George Bush as being one of the three targets and targets of evil, or whatever the hell he called it.
Axis of evil.
Axis of evil. And then what did we do? We went and invaded Iraq totally illegally and overthrew their government. And then what did we do to Libya? They gave up their nukes. And we destabilized their government. So our record is that we're going to go in there. If we can take you out, we're going to take you out. And that doesn't play well to a lot of people in the world, and it certainly didn't play well with the North Korean leader. So I can't blame him for wanting to have nuclear weapons. I do, however, think that we can probably get him to adjust to not threatening people with the nuclear weapons, because this whole thing of, you know, shooting off these rockets all the time, which he can't afford to do right now because they're broke, is ridiculous. But I think that we have caused this, and we now have to live with the fact, just like we have to live with India and Pakistan having nuclear weapons, we have to live with this because this is something that was brought on by an idiot president that we had that caused this to happen. Had it not been for all the belligerence and saber-rattling that we were doing, this probably would not have happened, and maybe he would have taken a different path.
Well, but Korea, I mean, you know, North Korea goes back into the 1950s. Here's a point, though, Richard, I think you'll agree with. President Trump is talking like he's not going to keep his word on Iran and the way that deal that was negotiated with Europe to slow down Iran's nuclear weapons program. And so Kim Jong-un, who is a crook, who is a liar, who is a murderer, can bail out any time he wants, saying, well, you know, they broke the deal with Iran, so why should we trust them? Doing whatever he wants.
That's true. And so as long as we can get him to not act like such a maniac and testing these weapons, which I think is very reasonable and very possible, if we can get him to do that and stop threatening people with them, then he'll feel like his country is safe, and we won't have to worry about, you know, the South Koreans or the Japanese or whatever, because we can get it stabilized. You know?
All right. And hey, you know, I got you. Thank you, Richard. I'm going to move to Johnny in Somerville, South Carolina. You're on the air, Johnny. You're on First Light.
Perfect example of what my explanation was going to be about this whole thing is listening to Richard there. It's not going to matter whether Trump takes this meeting or not. If he doesn't take it, the left wing there is going to say, oh, we had a perfect opportunity to make things right, and we didn't take it. Trump is terrible. This is what happens. This guy is not going to listen to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. You could go over there with all the Pope.
Dennis Rodman, anybody.
He's not going to listen to any of them. The only thing that's going to happen in that country, they're going to have a regime change, and that starts from their people to decide they didn't want to live the way they're living. And that's the only way this is going to change. I mean, look, we don't just have to blame President Bush. We can blame President Clinton, who made sure, oh, we're going to make a deal with him because we're going to give him some nuclear technology. Let's get everything straight here, where the nuclear technology came from with North Korea. I mean, this is a mistake. It was a mistake by Barack Obama giving Iran this sweet deal. It's ridiculous that if anybody, I don't care what party you're with, if you decide to give these rogue regimes nuclear weapons or nuclear technology, what do you think is going to happen? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, the nuclear technology that Bill Clinton authorized for China, and we don't know if that's part of what made it to North Korea, but it's certainly not a bad guess. Hey, thank you, Johnny. I'm going to try Bill in Elgin, Illinois. You're on First Light.
Yes. Hey, can you hear me okay?
Sure, yeah.
Listen, I think what we really should do is just hack that fat clown's head off with a machete and parade it around New York City and then just roast all them stupid North Koreans. Kill them all. Stab them with ice picks. Kill, 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 kill.
Okay, okay. We don't like to kill people this early in the morning. George in Atlantic City, you're on First Light.
Yes, I believe there's only one place for them to meet, and that's on a U.S. aircraft carrier in full public view where the president is fully protected.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how are we going to do it? Well, how about a couple of aircraft carriers a few miles away, and they can do this by video link? You know, the North Korean, I mean, he's killed members of his own family, and we don't know what's on his mind. There's absolutely no way to trust him.
Well, I'm looking at it in the most positive light that I can, and I'd like to see this 75-year armistice come to some kind of a settlement and that a-hole be put exactly where he belongs, and the only way to do that is in full public view on a U.S. aircraft carrier for the world to see.
Yeah. What kinds of hopes do you have for this meeting, George? Do you think anything could come out of this? I mean, if China puts enough pressure on, if North Korea really is in as bad a shape as we hear it is, you know, because Kim Jong-un's entire career has been based on squeezing his people, squeezing everything out of them that he wants. What did Abraham Lincoln say about slavery? Wringing your sweat from another man's brow. That's what Kim Jong-un has been doing to his own citizens.
Well, I think that at best there's maybe a 10 to 20% chance, but if anybody can pull it off, it's the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
All right. Hey, thank you for your call, George. And that's it for the calls, but I have a couple of other items here because, you know, once there's a deal like this, everybody wants to get into the deal and has something to say about it, and they should be heard. So out of Geneva comes word that UN special reporter on human rights says they have to look at human rights. The European Union voices deep concern at North Korea's continuing violations, saying some of which may account to crimes against humanity, to which I would say, duh, but I cannot imagine that Kim Jong-un has the slightest interest in human rights. He wants to be on the world stage. He wants to keep his nukes. And we'll see what comes of this meeting. This is going to be something else. And it's coming up very soon, too. What, in May, perhaps? Anyway, thanks for your calls today. It's First Light, 4 minutes before the hour. This is First Light, firstlightradio@gmail.com, 2 minutes before the hour. Well, we have lots of disagreements on this show, but it looks like one thing we all agree on, we should either stick with standard or daylight saving time. I have all these emails. Just pick one or the other and stay there. The people like getting the extra hour in the fall, but boy, it's rough giving it up in the spring. I hope you do well today. Keep your eyes on the road and keep them open while you have to. First Light is produced by David O'Zeal, engineered by the legendary Joe Ardinger. Monday, March 12th. I'm Evan Haining, First Light, Westwood One News.